Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, welcome back to the Rosslare podcast, and welcome back to Noel Cullerton, who is about to talk about the life and music of Sean O'Riordan.
Good morning. Sean O'Riordan must be one of the first outstanding musicians in the development of music in Ireland. His achievements could never be underestimated. He was really talented and an exciting man. He composed some noteworthy classical music, he wrote film scores, he composed and arranged music in several genres. Perhaps most importantly, he was a leading Irish figure in composing, revising and revitalising traditional Irish music. For most of his life, he wrestled musically with what it meant to be Irish. On the one hand, he wanted to be a composer of mainstream classical music, while on the other hand, he was deeply interested in Irish culture, language and music. He had a burning desire to explore and expand traditional music and to revive the rich Celtic culture that he inherited. He was deeply aware that these ideas weren't necessarily compatible with each other. One evening early in his career, he was giving a concert in the Palace Theatre in Cork. The audience were bored stiff by the classical pieces he was playing at the start of the concert. They perked up immediately when he switched to playing some traditional Irish music on the fiddle. They cheered and clapped him with great enthusiasm. Sean O'Riordan, or John Reedy, as he was christened, was born in Cork in 1931. He changed his name to its Irish equivalent later in life as he immersed himself more and more deeply in Irish culture. His father was a guard and was stationed in Adair in Limerick, where the young O'Riordan was reared. Both parents had a passion for Irish music and they passed that passion on to Sean. He went to University College Cork, where he studied music under the direction of Professor Alroy Fleischmann, who regarded O'Riordan as the most gifted musician he ever taught. While in college, he earned cash, as well as enjoying himself immensely by playing the piano in jazz bands and smoky bars and clubs around the city. The jazz aficionados at the time reckoned he had a great future as a jazz musician. But this was not what O'Riordan wanted at all. He wanted to be a composer of serious music and studied European literature and music with a massive intensity. The year 1953 was a great year for him. He married the love of his life, Ruth Coughlin. They went on to have seven children. He also got a job as assistant director of music in Radio Éireann. Sounded like the perfect job for him, but he quickly found out that this job did not suit him at all. He found himself immersed in paperwork and administration. So at 24 years of age, he quit his good, pensionable job and took himself off to Paris. He reckoned that Paris was the cultural hub of music and art in Europe. Unfortunately, things did not work out for him there. He could not get steady employment and ended up living in near poverty. He came home declaring, "I would rather be breaking stones in Ireland than be the richest man living in Europe." Then things looked up for him again. He got a job that suited him down to the ground. He was appointed musical director of the Abbey Theatre in Dublin. He wrote and directed music for the small pit orchestra and also wrote lots of his own music.
Thank you.
That beautiful piece of music was Manon Ahern, Women of Ireland, composed by Sean O'Riordan.
Over the next few years, he wrote such serious classical works as Nomos 1, 2 and 3 and 8 Preludes. Some critics liked them and reckoned he could bring Irish classical music to a level comparable to that written in Europe. However, the music was very avant-garde, very modern, very different to anything people heard, very new, and the public didn't show any great appetite for it. At the same time, O'Riordan was becoming consumed with all things Irish. He became fluent in Irish and travelled around the houses and pubs and rural villages talking and listening to traditional Irish music being played. You must remember, at that time, Irish traditional music was not nearly as popular as it is today. He was now in full creative mood and composing and directing music for the theatre and films. He arranged lots of traditional tunes in much the same way as Dvořák did for his Czech homeland, Bartók did in Hungary, Grieg for Norway and Ralph Vaughan Williams for England. In 59, he completed what is nowadays his best known work, the famous Irish documentary maker George Morrison was making a film made up of assembled footage of the events surrounding the 1916 Easter Rebellion and the subsequent War of Independence. The documentary, called Misha Era, well known nowadays, was an innovative mix of still and moving archival images with an Irish language voiceover and music arranged by O'Riordan. The film Misha Era, and especially the music, captured the Irish imagination in a big way. It was a revolutionary development. Up to then, Irish people were not particularly fond of Irish music, and many were vaguely almost ashamed of it. It was regarded as hopelessly old-fashioned. O'Riordan's music changed all of that, and the Irish nation reacted with great positivity to it. Suddenly, we had an Irish music and a culture that was as good as anyone else's. It was a heritage and a culture that we could be proud of. Misha Era was the first of a trilogy of films made by Gaelin. O'Riordan did the soundtracks, and they stand out for their inspired orchestral arrangements of traditional songs and ballads like Roisin Dubh, The Croppy Boy and Bula Vogue. Around that time also, he assembled a bunch of really talented musicians who specialised in traditional music. They called themselves Ceoltóirí Cúla. They played the full range of instruments, dressed in black suits, white shirts and bow ties, and they proceeded to take the whole country by storm. From around 1960 onwards, they played traditional music in a way not heard before. They laid down a template, which has guided Irish music since. They played with great gusto and skill. They had their first major hit in the pop charts with an energetic version of An Pucar Buile. O'Riordan brought stateliness and a grandeur to Irish music. He demonstrated again and again that Irish culture was as rich and as wonderful as anyone else's. To him, and he saw this as very important, Ireland had achieved its political independence, had developed its own distinctly Irish literature, and he strived with might and main to revive and popularise its own musical identity. In 1963, he was appointed a lecturer in music in his old alma mater, University College Cork. And he turned out to be a great teacher and a very innovative one there. He also moved his family to Cúlaíodha, an Irish-speaking area in West Cork, and lived there for the rest of his life. While living in Cork, he turned his formidable talent to choral church music, composing music for two masses, Ceol and Afrin. And the Ceol and Afrin was the first mass written in the Irish language. By 1971, O'Riordan was not well. He was treated for cirrhosis of the liver and died from a heart attack in October 1971, just 2 months after his 40th birthday. Sean O'Riordan was a multi-talented and energetic man who made a huge contribution to the Irish nation. His biographer, Tomás O'Cain, summed him up best. He gave the Irish people a new vision of the beauty and excellence of their native music. He was, by any standard, an intellectual of the first rank, who remained true to his personal vision of the integration of art and life. That was the quotation straight from his biography. He wrote lots of great music, and we are going to listen to the music for which he is most famous, Misha Era. Sean O'Rourke was an amazing guy. He talked in lots of political discussions. He used to do programs on radio about music. He was political. He was engaged in every aspect of Irish life. Now, I don't know if he was involved in political parties, but he was intensely Irish, and anything that would benefit Irish, he got involved in.
And in terms of you saying that he revitalised Irish music, in what way? He was playing classical music?
He always wanted to be a classical musician. Always, always, always. But the music in Europe at the time was, to my mind, was very popular at the time, but it hasn't stood the test of time. And he copied very precisely what was going on in Europe. And that music wasn't popular, certainly not in Ireland. So he had that dilemma. Most of his life he fought with that. He would have loved to have been doing both. But as time went on, He didn't compose as much classical music. He preferred the more traditional. He just got too busy. After all, he died quite young and he did a lot for Irish music in those early days.
You said he played jazz initially. When you spoke about him playing the piano, you spoke about him playing the violin. Was he multi-instrumental?
He could play anything, but in fact he played the Bowron. The Bowron was practically extinct at the time. And he brought that back in fashion in Kjoltori Kjul, and you see him in the middle of it, playing the Bowron. But that Kjoltori Kjul, they were very professional. They played every instrument. They had a really strong professional musicians that knew their business.
If I'm not mistaken, Eamon de Butler was in Kjoltori.
Eamon de Butler, yeah, and the man in the Chieftains, what's his name?
The Piper?
The leader of the Chieftains, what's his name?
Paddy Malone?
One grew from the other. The Kjoltori Kjul was the start of it. All talented musicians, and they developed then into the Chieftains and that, you know.
Do you think in some way that when Misha Eire was being bid by...
George Morrison.
Yeah, do you think that the introduction was made via...
Well, they knew one. They were both around Dublin, so they knew one.
They knew one another. The Butler might have introduced him to Morrison.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. They would have been all around. He worked in and out of RTE, the Abbey Theatre. So he was at the centre of cultural life in Dublin. So presumably they all knew one another fairly well.
And tell me, in terms of jazz, you were saying he was playing the piano with the jazz. Was that right?
Yeah.
And did they ever record anything?
I don't think so. This was in smoky sessions late at night kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
You also said that he died at 40 years of age. Was that alcohol related?
Yes.
And what was his tipple of choice?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he drank a lot.
40 years of age is very, very young.
Very young. And he smoked, so, you know.
Yeah. How did he make the transition from, you know, musician to head of... a theatre?
He was musical director in the Abbey. So he did music for the shows. When he got the job in UCC, he moved back to Cork. He moved the whole family to Cúlaíde, which is an Irish-speaking district in West Cork.
So he packed up his job then in the theatre?
And went down. Well, you see, he got his job in UCC.
Oh, right, yeah. As a teacher?
As a lecturer, yeah. Lecturer in music.
And tell me, in terms of his wife, she must have been quite young when he passed away.
Cochran, I don't think she lived that long afterwards either, for some reason. I don't know much about her.
And was she an inspiration to him in any way? Well, she was a childhood sweetheart, is that what you said?
Yeah, well, they got married in
1952.
Yeah, and so he was very young.
Yeah.
I think he was only in his early, maybe 21 or 2 at that stage. Because he was married when he went to Paris. Remember, he went to Paris.
Yeah.
Things didn't go well from there.
What do you mean by things didn't go well there? What sort of music was he trying to play?
He was trying to play classical music. But he had to get it, had to live. And he couldn't get a permanent job. He got a little bit of work from...
As a session musician for classical music?
Yeah, and he got some work for French radio, I think. But it never got anything permanent. He didn't do well there.
And she
went back and took him home.
And what you said there, like the quote from his biography, was that he preferred to be breaking stones.
Yeah, I think it was in a moment of...
That was just
a hard time in Paris. Look, I'm not going back there.
When somebody mentions Sean O'Riordan, he's synonymous with Misha Eire. There must be other pieces of music I'd love to hear that weren't so...
Well, the one... I only heard the classical music. He wrote 8 preludes and he wrote this Nomos, which is sort of based on Greek music. Thank you.
and that was Sean O'Riordan's Gnomus No. 1, performed by the RTE Symphony Orchestra, directed by Robert Houlihan. Keep on listening to TRP.